पल्ला चूड़ा फेरे डाउरी डोली अ फ्यू ऑफ द ट्रेडिशंस एक्सपीरियंस विद इन करंट डे सिख वेडिंग्स दैट कुड बी डिस्क्राइब्ड एज हाईली जेंडर्ड or extremely gendered and violent. All elicit different emotions and views. Should the palla only be given by the bride's father during the Anantar ceremony? Should it be both sets of parents giving the palla? If the palla is to symbolize a connection with the divine infinite, then why is the palla only given from the groom to the bride? If the connection is to be with the divine, should the palla be held by both the groom and the bride? Chura, the bride's mother's family traditionally giving money as a part of dowry, a ceremony for which there is no counter father's side ceremony. Fere, brides often choose to have brothers escort them through the fere. What does this mean? Has the groom ever wanted or needed his sisters to be there to help him through his lama? Dowry, a tradition that, although may have changed in the ways it is expressed and, or it manifests, it is a still very relevant and violent tradition. One that is impacted greatly by class and geography as well. However, it has garnered much attention both globally and culturally as problematic. However, Doli, usually the last ceremony of the day, which concludes the bride's family's portion of the wedding day, has not garnered as much attention or question at all. These traditions on their own, when on their own, may elicit a response that we're making a bigger deal out of really nothing, that these are just traditions and they're harmless. And in fact, through the surveys that we conducted, that was a voice that came through. We are making much ado of nothing. We, however, believe that when contextualized, these traditions are anything but harmless. And we put forth a challenge to all whom have participated in the ceremonies, one way or another, to look at them in a way that they may never have before. Traditions which have become natural and familiar, and even integral to the self and the family. This again was a voice that came through the surveys. When respondents were asked if they had done the Doli survey and if it was due to being integral to their family or themselves, they were almost equally proportioned. Today, we will be focusing on the one tradition, Doli, a site that we want to deconstruct to understand its meaning and its implications in a larger narrative. We assert that Doli, as now defined popularly as a whole ceremony through which the bride departs her family's home, rather than simply the fagi itself, acts as a site through which a number of other patriarchal and gender inequitable systems are reinforced, reproduced, and validated, knowingly and unknowingly. That in fact, Doli within a system has grave implications, grossly contributing to the gendered violence culturally and globally. To engage in this assertion, we set out to inquire on the thoughts of the Punjabi Sikh community. Thus, we engaged in 9 interviews, 5 of which were adults above the age of 50. 2 were male, 3 were female. All were first-generation immigrants, as well as 2 surveys we put online for which we got 175 respondents. Although Doli is a ceremony that takes place in South Asian and Asian traditions in varying forms, we as 2 Sikh women were inspired to challenge the ceremony and the systems it upholds specifically in Sikh Punjabi context. because of the inspiration we have driven from Sikhi through Gurbani and the lived revolutionary examples of our gurus and the historical examples related to challenging oppression in hypocrisy or hypocritical rituals. In this way, we examine Doli as not only a soul ceremony distilled within the wedding day that gives the bride a chance to say her goodbye for her new life, again, a theme that was expressed in the survey. Rather, we look at Doli by turning it on its head within a larger gender critique, and we question questions which are simple, yet proving difficult to deconstruct and answer. Questions as, why is it that the bride must always leave? Why is it that she is the one who takes place in this performance of departure? If there is no inequality in the process, in another voice that came from the survey, then could Doli happen for the groom? If not, why not? What else is happening beyond the Doli? Many years before it, and in the years after, that make this difficult moment not only okay, but integral to many. In the endeavor to ask, can we hear, specifically as a group that was privy to the survey, its language, access to technology, or the privilege to sit here amongst a educated, language-accessible group in the West, can we step back and see the larger narrative that Doli sits within? Can we stretch our minds to challenge systems that may not be serving us anymore? Can we unravel the narrative? A narrative that many of the adults older than 50 summarized as, a girl must always go to her real home. They're always a guest in this house until the day of. We found that although the first generation, the generation of our parents, had consistent synonymous response to the question of Doli, that it was not the case for the second generation respondents in the survey. Although the system was being adhered to, new meaning was attempted to be made, and there was a range of detailed, articulated thoughts that spanned across the board, from naming it as outright patriarchal to self-proclaiming it as a rites of passage. Is that how much time I have left? Okay. One second-generation female respondent noted, Doli is the time for everyone to get together after the wedding and for both sides to mix together, but also ends with the girl leaving her family's house for the final time. I always reflect upon how this moment will feel for me when I get there. I know that historically it symbolizes the female being given to the male's family, but with my beliefs, it will actually be more of a Doli for both my future husband and I, as we will be leaving both our families to start a life together. This will be a sad moment because I am leaving my family, but I will not view it as being given away to the patriarchal side. So this woman, although recognizes the ceremonies for the bride, she feels, because she and her husband will be moving later, that the Doli can be for him too. However, is this truly the case? In this ceremony, where from the moment the family carries the bride into the room, holding her as they brace for the moment to come, to the rice being thrown over her head, cutting ties of her past, to the overwhelming sadness and emotions of her departure, to the males in the family pushing her right away as helping her new family take her forward, could this truly be a Doli for the man, too? Or, when the couple moves, are ties symbolically also cut off for the man in the same way? We pose that because of the patriarchal hegemonic context within which Doli is framed, it cannot be equal for a man. That the fact that the Doli represents a symbolic separation from her maiden home, it reinforces systems that take away power and agency. Systems as the departure, which translates into the daughter now becoming a wife and a daughter of another family, belonging to a separate entity. This translates into less access and support from her maiden family. These unseen boundaries of what is acceptable and not by the new bride or her family are now experienced. From how often she visits her maiden home, does she take her husband with her? How often they can visit her? Can she sleep over or not? What came up in the interviews is that women didn't feel they could necessarily access their parents after the marriage if things weren't going well in their new home, because she is supposed to work things out there. And their husbands would not usually understand the experience of the dynamics of what it was like for this new woman to experience a new family within a set of new extended relationships. Depending on the geographic location, the gradient of access to resources and this dynamic changes. We recognize the power and privilege of geographical location, education, and class definitely play a strong role. However, in any situation, departure from the maiden family could potentially create a situation of isolation, thus possibly impacting the safety in the case of an unsafe or violent situation in the future. Sorry, how much time am I at? 2 minutes, okay. Okay. Further, this departure translates into the relinquishing of ownership or shares in the family's financial inheritance, property, or will, which she may have never had access to in the first place. This ties hand in hand with the idea that the female or the daughter cannot carry the legacy of the name or the finances of the family, thus access to less power and value again. Now, we know again that this is not always the case. Within the diaspora, the class of privilege plays a large role in financial proprietorship as well. This lesser access to her previous home finances, a lesser value for power in the financial system of the home, also extends to her being a less accessible body in terms of the primary care of the family. Thus stripping women away from a form of autonomy and physical value. They are bodies that they must part ways with, stripping them of the power in many situations and also their choice. So what we're asserting is that the idea of a woman having, from the beginning, no access to inheritance, not even being able to claim to be the physical caretaker of her parents after marriage, or having access to any inheritance from the family or their legacy of either their finances or property or business or the name, leaves her as a disposable woman, in a sense. One that is transferred almost as property from one family to another. For this, we specifically asked these questions in our second survey, and we found that where there was a larger gradient of diverse expressions in the first survey in regards to what is Dholi about, or is there an inequality between how the bride and the groom experience it, when it came to clearly asking questions around who is expected to get inheritance of finance, who is expected to take care of the family after marriage, who would parents feel most comfortable asking for support, were all very clear, were issues that surveyors found, were all very clear that surveyors found would be the role of the son. So then we asked a trick question, because I'm going to wrap up really, really quick. We've talked about female infanticide, feticide today. We've talked about it being as an issue. Both in the event, you very clearly brought it up that where the revolution of Lunan and Sabin Siki comes from, how is it that today we're at 792 to 1,000? So we're asserting that if we're creating members of a society, which we already devalue from the beginning, they're transferable bodies that aren't going to be a part of your plan or the question we ask your team, if you're a coach, who are you going to recruit, that these families are actually often out, not all the time, because we're dealing with middle-class families, but we are setting up, we're in a system where the value is put on the mat to carry everything forward, even something as crucial as your physical care as an elderly couple. So if we want to change the outcomes, if we want to change what we're seeing that's happening in the world, we have to change the value that we put on women, that we should be able to have choice. We're not saying get rid of Dolly, but we're saying what's stripped with Dolly is stripped actually a long time ago. That we're with women through the survey tried voicing some autonomy around giving it meaning, saying this is what they really want actually. If they had a choice, that they would actually keep Dolly. Not all of them, but that was a very prevalent voice as well. So we're saying that within an oppressive system, we're trying to find agency, but even that agency is oppressed unless we have true, meaningful dialogue about it, and it can actually become a choice. Due to the length of time, I'll finish there. Thank you very much.